Hi, my name is Michael Waits, and my worst date, to the extent that it can be called a date, can only be described as potentially murderous. And we'll get to that in the end. You're laughing, but it wasn't so funny for the guy that almost got murdered. This was less of a date and more of a hookup, but in the end, it feels like only a semantic difference. To me, at least. This happened on like a Friday or a Saturday night in Tokyo, and really, you had to be there. And to be fair, for the most part, most of those nights kind of blurred together. I can't remember a Friday or a Saturday night when I was in Tokyo that we didn't go out at some level. And what does it mean when they say they blurred together? It means that there were a bunch of places that we frequented, and depending on our mood, we kind of rotated through those places pretty regularly, actually. And even the guys... Even the guys that had steady girlfriends rarely started the night out with them. But you have to know, if you've ever been to Roppongi, you have to know that the place where you go out is really small, it's really concentrated, and there was almost no way to stop yourself from running into everybody you knew every night you were out. It didn't matter where you went, actually. But this particular night was non-standard, and not because of the way it began, but because of the way that it ended. And thankfully it ended with everybody safe, I think. A typical night for us would start at a bar called Motown. And it's exactly Motown. What you think. It played Motown music, you've probably been there. And it would almost always include a stop at Castillo's for a bit of dancing and foosballs. There was a foosball table right next to the front door. And would most likely end at McDonald's. Which I believe at one point was the busiest McDonald's in the world. And it was small, right? They just had sort of this counter that was outside. You walked up to it. Oh, I almost forgot. We would always go to Geronimo's. And Geronimo's was like this shot bar. And it was packed, wall-to-wall packed at all times. If you've ever been there, you know this. And if you banged the drum inside Geronimo's, it didn't matter how many people were in there. You had to buy shots for everybody. So it could get really expensive. And
was,
you know,
was the drum the only thing you were banging that night, or were you doing other stuff as well?
Why does that word always come up when we're talking? I feel like it's not a coincidence.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable in life. And most of these nights would start with about 7 or 8 of us, always the kind of the same guys. And by the time the night was
all guys,
over, always all guys. Mm-hmm. You have to remember, this all started in 1990, 1991, and when our firms were sending people out to Tokyo, it was mostly guys. For better or for worse, that's just a fact, right?
So you start with a 7 to 8 guy sausage fest. You roam in Tokyo.
Sometimes we split up into groups, but by the end of the night, we were always split up into what I would call smaller, more strategic groups.
Hunting packs.
Yeah, or just like some guys would go home, some guys would drink too much, some guys would run into their girlfriend and they'd have to be like, okay, guys, do you know what I mean? Like,
accidentally.
Have to leave. Honey, what are you doing out tonight? Oh, nothing. And then just walk away. You know these guys. You know these gals as well. Anyway, this night wasn't really going anywhere. I'm pretty sure it was in the wintertime. I remember being a little bit cold, and it was primed to end with McDonald's. It was going to end with a cheeseburger, with fries, and a Coke, and that was about it. There was going to be no banging, for sure.
I never imagined McDonald's was the way to end a night in Tokyo, but I'm glad to learn it.
Oh my God, that's what we did every time. It was either that or Arby's, but I mean, Arby's was just horrible. Arby's was a place where people would go to sleep. We weren't sleeping. Anyway, there were just two of us now, and it had to have been about 2 a.m., and I told you, there was just a counter, so you'd wait in line, and the counter faced outside. We just ordered our meals, if you could call them that, and they weren't Happy Meals, yeah? And we just turned back to the street, and right in front of us, you have to remember, this is really close to Roppongi Crossing, and right in front of us, like a mirage, right, one of these two kind of cute girls around our age. And I'll never
jackpot.
Forget to look up, say it again?
Jackpot.
Yeah, jackpot, that's what it felt like, and my buddy and I remember, we looked at each other, you've been there, and we made that face like, should we? Should we at least try? All we have are fries, really. And that's not what we're here for. And then we kind of looked at each other like, yeah, I guess we should. Why not? And it was unspoken. We literally probably just like shrugged our shoulders at each other and kind of went like, why not?
It's that telepathic bro talk.
You've been there.
Yes.
Anyway, we agreed to go for it. And we just started chatting to these young ladies. And to be fair, their night was probably like our night was. They had definitely been drinking and hopping from bar to bar. And then it was time for them to go home as well. And they were just like looming around.
Oh, I thought you meant they started with 7 to 8 guys.
No, but they maybe, probably started with 7 to 8 girls. Yeah. You have to remember in Tokyo back then, gokon, right, was definitely a thing. Girls would go out with girls, meet a bunch of guys, and then see who they liked. Like, that was a normal event, right? Anyway.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, those kinds of dates were actually interesting. We can talk about that under a separate cover. But these girls did not speak any English. A lot of the girls that went to Roppongi, like, didn't speak English. And my buddy didn't speak any Japanese, right? Which meant that I had to do all the talking. And this was normal. This always was up to me. And at the end of this conversation, we convinced them to get into a taxi with us and go back to my buddy's apartment.
Wow. So you're a smooth talker in Japanese.
Dekiryo nandemo. No problem. Anyway, but the cool thing about this guy's apartment was it wasn't in a normal neighborhood. And it had an indoor, kind of big, heated swimming pool. And that was the draw.
Nice.
And it was really in the taxi where this date started. Once we were in the taxi, I think he sat in front, I sat in back with the two ladies. Again, because I could talk to them. And the whole conversation in the taxi, we spent convincing them to go swimming with us. We were like, we have a pool, we can go swimming. And they were like, we don't have any bathing suits. They were just like, neither do we. You know what I mean? Like, it was normal. And they're like, no, we don't have any bathing suits. And we were like, yeah, we don't either. So we're not
we
really
don't see worried. The problem here.
Yeah, I don't see the problem here at all. So they agreed to go swimming without the suits. And then this is where the real fun started. I'll never forget this. And the pool was big, right? So my buddy was swimming with his date and I was swimming with my date. And I think I was standing on the side getting ready to dive in and she was still in the pool. My buddy looks over at me and he goes, can you put that thing away?
He got a bit more than he wanted.
A bit more than he wanted from the festival. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was only the second best quote from the night. And that kind of ended our swimming adventure. We were kind of done. We looked at each other. We were like, hey, should we all go upstairs and get some sleep? And there must have been towels down there because we weren't going to get dressed wet. And we definitely weren't going to go up in the elevator in the state that we were in anyway. And I think he was on like the 20th or the 28th floor. Yeah. So we went upstairs and, you know, we kind of split into two groups. I think he had 2 or 3 bedrooms in his apartment, right? We were expats, so we weren't paying for it. And he lived in a really nice place. And when the night was over,
someone died.
No, but close enough. Somebody might have. When the night was over, right? Like I heard the door close, the front door close to his apartment. And I thought, okay, the girls are gone. Cause I know that my date had already left my room.
Just wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am. Wow.
It was more than that, right? But again, this all started at 2. We got back at 3. This could have been like 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And I don't think there was much sleeping. I remember I didn't sleep that much. And I can't imagine that my buddy did either. And when we finally met in the kitchen, I said to him, you know, how was the rest of your night? And he just said, you know, he made that face again, like, okay. In like this very strange tone of voice. And he said, when all was said and done, he asked his date what she did for a living. And she said, I'm a nurse. Which is normally like the dream answer, right? Because nurses are supposed to be caregiving. They're supposed to be gentle. They're supposed to be attentive. But I could tell by the look on his face that this was not going to end well. So he repeated it for me. He said, she told me I'm a nurse. I love the sight of blood.
Ugh.
And then he continued and said, she said to me, and we're still in bed, he said, yeah? If I could kill people and get away with it, I would do it all the time.
Oh my God, no way.
Dead serious. He asked her to leave immediately. And that is why that date was potentially murderous.
Wow. That'll kill the vibe.
Yeah. The potential for death? Definitely.
So, Michael, always remember this. Never trust cute girls, because they could kill you.
Dangerous advice.